First item we'll take up is the Senate Bill 3, which was on the calendar before, and there was questions referenced to the fiscal note. We have a new fiscal note in the folder. Is there anyone here to further testify on SB 3? Not. Does everyone have a copy of the new fiscal note?
Is there anybody from the department here, Mr. Chairman? Health and
Social Services here, just to monitor and answer any questions you might have from the program.
Can you respond to this fiscal note?
No. If that's from the court system, I'll give you my opinion.
Well, that's what I'd be interested in, Mr. Chairman.
Come forward, please. State your name.
I'm Robert Regovich. I'm the program administrator for the Developmental Disabilities Section of the Department of Health and Social Services.
Have you seen the fiscal note?
No, I sure haven't. Yeah, this is somewhat scaled down from yesterday's. What was it, close to 250?
According to the note here from Senator Ferguson, reference the fiscal note on SB 3. The FY81 amount reflects 6 months funding for the court system's full year funding on the original fiscal note. In each succeeding fiscal year, the budget amount reflects a 7% increase over the previous year, which is the same as the court system's original fiscal note. Anyone have any questions on this?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I don't think this tells us, we had discussion about just looking at that, it looks like there's probably one in South Central and one in Southeast, and I don't see how we'd get one in Fairbanks. I think there's one in Fairbanks, three in South Central, and two in Southeast, and we cut it. I don't know, but, you know, it looks like it's really pared back, and I suppose that's the only question. I can't judge that, is whether that's adequate to carry out the intent of the legislation.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
All I can see is reference
to
still
that
four full-time
employees.
Are
there still four full-time?
Yes.
Fine, I haven't had a chance to look at this.
This
is not the new one.
The
first
one had nine.
Yeah, the original one had nine, this one has four.
Thank you.
Does it say, Mr. Chairman, does it say four? I don't see where
it says down below positions.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It does. And that certainly seems like that would cover those areas.
Mm-hmm. That's from an original fiscal note having nine.
Right.
How does that seem?
Well, it seems if those four positions are not one public administrator type of person in, say, Anchorage, and then the rest are secretarial staff or something in the rest of the area. But I think that this probably is such that it gives the flexibility to the court system to deal with, you've got four positions and you've got this much money, now work that out somehow. And I think that was the intent yesterday of the group.
They normally take that latitude whether we give it to them or not. Do you think that fiscal note appears realistic, the revised fiscal note?
I'd say that we need the legislation enough that if it were I that were having to run it, I'd take that and see what I could do with it, and then give you a better report next year on where I fell flat or not.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay.
Well, are you ready for a motion?
Ready for a motion on this, if the Senator would be so kind.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out of committee with individual recommendations Senate SB 3 with the revised fiscal note.
All in favor? Carried. SB 3 passed out of committee, individual recommendations with the revised fiscal note. Next item to come before the committee is Senate Bill 226, an act relating to the Mining Loan Fund.
Senator Farringham was here.
She has another meeting up over in the House. Do we have anyone here to testify in reference to the bill? Bill, would you come forward, please?
Chairman, for the record, my name is Phil Holdsworth, and I am representing the Alaska Miners Association. Senate Bill, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 226, resources was worked out based upon the experience at the beginning of the program, where it was found that it was difficult in some cases for operators, people who had been in mining for quite a while but did not happen to be the applicant or the manager necessarily, and had qualified people also on his staff, couldn't qualify under the requirements of section 20, 27, 09, 020, and this language was worked out, and I just like to testify in support of that, in support of this bill. It answered some of the problems that developed in the administration of the program.
Are there any questions?
I might say, Mr. Chairman, that there is a House Bill 581 on the other side of the other end of the aisle, or the other end of the hall, which also makes some amendments in this area, and it has gone to finance on the House side. Also with that went the Senate Bill 214, which is the supplemental appropriation for this present fiscal year under the loan program. I don't know whether that's going to get out early enough to be of much help this fiscal year, but it is very much needed. And I thought you might be interested in the provisions of 581 in some comparison to this bill.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim Palmer. I'm here representing Senator Fahrenkamp. I work for her on the Resources Committee. I won't go much beyond what Phil said in that the problems that were addressed in this bill, particularly Section 1, paragraphs 2, 4, and 5, were brought to your attention, Senator Bennett, and Senator Fahrenkamp's, by many of the miners in Fairbanks. And this legislation, as it came out of the Resources Committee, has been agreed upon by both the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Sharon Traylor of the Division of Loans, and the miners. There is a sectional analysis that was prepared for your information in your packets. I believe that this does correct the original intent of the bill as it was passed. And Senator Fahrenkamp hopes that you will support it.
Any questions, members of the committee?
Are you prepared for a motion? Mr. Chairman, I would move we substitute for Senate Bill 226 resources with individual recommendations.
We have a motion for the committee to move committee substitute for Senate Bill number 226. All those in favor? Those opposed? Carried. Bill to move out of committee. Individual recommendations. That concludes the bills to be taken up by the committee this morning. It's the consensus that the Senate will not meet, according to the President, on Monday. So we will schedule no meetings of the Finance Committee, either tomorrow, Sunday, or Monday. The facts pretty much are out there, if anyone takes the time and to do the research, that between what the committee has passed and between what we passed on the floor the other day, we've already signed off on about $5 billion or $5.2 billion. So we're approaching very closely to what our revenue projections are. They're between 5.8 and 5.9. And with the update to the world glut and the things that are going on, I think even the 5.8 is probably optimistic. But the committee is already, like I say, encroaching up against that number. And I'll elaborate a little bit more on the floor today if it's appropriate. But I think everyone deserves a 3-day rest, at least from this committee. And we'll hit it again on Tuesday.
Mr. Chairman, have you received yet a statement regarding any details on the Alaska oil situation and what implications that might have for the legislature this session?
No, we have the time frame for reaction wasn't sufficient. I've asked the administration and I've asked our finance people, but as yet there's supposedly buyers waiting in the wings for that 75,000 barrels per day. There should be no problem.
Well, Mr. Chairman, did they actually, and I haven't had the just frankly chance to check, have they actually canceled then? I mean, it's as of today, is it our oil? Is that your understanding?
I don't know the effective date, but it's my understanding that they've canceled. Anyone else have anything further? If not, thank you. In order. First item up this morning will be House Bill 17, the committee substitute.
Mr. President, House Bill, committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 17, S amended effective date, is a bill establishing the Older Alaska Commission. And there are some amendments that are being proposed by the HESC committee, or were being proposed, and we have a number of people who would like to testify, particularly on those points. And I believe you have the list.
Yes. Okay. The first person to testify would be Vera Castaway.
I am Vera Gazaway with the Older Persons Action Group in Anchorage, which is, as you all know, a statewide advocacy organization for senior citizens. In the interest of conserving time and shortening your job, I would like to say that we are very supportive of the amendments as they are being offered and of the Older Alaskans Commission. I'd be glad to answer any questions if there are any.
Does everyone have a copy of the proposed amendments in our... They're printed up, and they came up, I believe, from Senate Hess.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm not sure where they came.
Senator?
I don't believe they're from
Senate Hess.
Oh. Senate
Hess had the
committee substitute. Is that your file? Is this it?
Yeah.
I think we're on it. No.
Miller? Could be. I don't know where they came from.
Yeah, it should be in the file.
For the record, let me state that we see these amendments as creating the kind of a commission for senior citizens, which does provide for that target population to have a definite input into planning and implementation and development of those services and programs that are designed for their benefit.
Is there further any questions again?
Can
you find
amendment? No, I
don't. Half of us do.
Yeah.
It says proposed amendment for me.
No.
We have copies.
Would you like to borrow my copy?
I will get some.
Mr. Chairman, that the Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 17 S is not to the total liking of the representatives of the senior citizens, and they are the ones that are proposing these amendments, which will probably eventually be incorporated into a finance committee substitute in order to bring it back to their original recommendations, and I believe that any one of those people can explain them if they have any questions.
Are there any questions, members of the committee? If not, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to let my voices be known.
Representative Miller, this is your bill. We'd like to afford you the opportunity to say a few words if you'd like to.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak very briefly and mostly to the point that I think the representatives from the senior citizens community raised. The bill, obviously, I think is a good bill, but in the first committee of referral in the Senate, there was a substantial change made, and this is the change that the senior citizens object to, and I share their I hope that you'll change it back and by incorporating these amendments. In particular, the way we envisioned the bill in the House is that the senior citizens themselves, through the commission, the Older Alaskans Commission, would have more than just advisory powers under the Act. We envisioned this as a commission that they could roll up their sleeves and make meaningful decisions, and those decisions would they would have the responsibility. And we think it would work. We think that with the expertise and the quality of the people that are available for the governor to appoint, that we can indeed appoint a senior citizens or Older Alaskans Commission, where the people themselves can make these decisions and not just make recommendations which may or may not be followed through. And this has the support of the House and the citizens, the senior citizens themselves, and we hope that you'll consider restoring that language. We just think these people are, these people in particular, are a group of people who have proved themselves, literally all their lives in Alaska, and that they can be entrusted with decisions that'll affect their destiny. We put in a 1-year delay on that. It's been suggested in the Senate by members of the Senate, and I think a pretty good idea that 1 year is not necessary. So the date that's been affected, the date that's been suggested by, I believe, Senator Rohde, is 6 months delay. That allows the governor to appoint the commission for them to get hire their executive secretary or executive director, whatever they call him, and get that person on board, and they'd be all ready to go. And then at the end of the 6 month period, they would assume the role of managing their affairs that are designated to them under this bill.
Senator?
Representative Miller, of course, this has been this particular issue that's being raised is the reason we did not see a bill, I believe, passed last year. I think there's a great deal of concern and discussion on that, and I think it's terribly important that we, get the program instituted. But I wonder, the department objects the transferring of the responsibilities of the aging programs from the Division of Adult and Aging Services. I wonder what you foresee exactly happening, what relationship with the ongoing structure. I understand the real need to bring together the aging programs that are scattered here, and it takes a genius to know what the heck's out there and what's happening. What do you see really happening, and what tie with the administration and so on? How do you see that functioning if the bill goes through as you envision it? Good. Just what programs will be over there, and what's going to happen?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Sturdzielewski, first of all, I'd like to make a minor correction, at least from my viewpoint. This is not, I don't believe, what held the bill up last year. What held the bill up last year was a division within the ranks of the older Alaskans community themselves on whether the commission should have jurisdiction over the pioneer homes and the longevity bonus.
Mr. Chairman, let's say there are two things. Senator Hackney's, and I think there are two issues.
Okay. I think that was one of the things. That issue has been totally and completely and satisfactorily resolved to everybody's satisfaction in this bill now. And everybody is on board, the pioneers, everybody's endorsing the legislation. So that's the situation you discussed, I think, is what gave the administration pause last year, but I don't think it gave legislators all that much pause. Frankly, I just... It's hard for me to tell you how I see it happening, except I see it happening very well. I see it working. I see the governor, first of all, appointing some pretty good people, and by making this commission an actual group that actually can make real decisions, I see the governor, under those circumstances, probably giving more care, attention, and time to making the very best appointments possible. Because they won't be just an advisory group. If they goof, they will have goofed on an operational basis.
But for that reason, I see him appointing just really good people. Not that he wouldn't anyway, but I think this is to ensure that it's going to be the very best people possible. I see these people then just being very capable of making the decisions that are called for under here. And, not just recommending what programs, for instance, are going to get grants, but actually deciding what programs are going to get grants. And I don't see how that's going to conflict with the workings of the department. You can just go right down the line, and within the areas that we prescribe, for them, I don't know of any that they can't make the decisions and that the department and the administration can't live with. To me, it's sort of a non-problem. What I'd rather hear is reasons why it wouldn't work, because I just think that in every respect it will.
Are there any other questions, Representative Miller? Okay. If not,
thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
The next one to testify will be Florence Barnhart.
Thank you. I'm Florence Barnhart, Chairman of the Alaska Joint Legislative Committee, representing the National Retired Teachers Association and the American Association of Retired Persons. We are very much interested in this bill, HB 17, as it has been amended. We think it corrects what held it up last year. And we like the way that it has been amended, and we are certainly for it as it now reads. Now, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Yes. Any questions for members of the committee?
I have
no. Evidently not. Thank you very much, folks. Next person to testify is Doug Cole.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Doug M. Cole. I am an older Alaskan. I am the chairman of the Senior Citizen Advisory Board to the Mayor and Assembly of Juneau. Also, I was a member of the Senior Citizens Committee, which prepared this document in the beginning, or stimulated, I should say. We didn't prepare the word for word because others have done this. As an older Alaskan, as an older person, I wish to tell you what it is to be an older person. And I would like you to project your thinking for yourself and see yourself when you are 65 and over, and what you would like the state of Alaska to do for you. You have been a participating citizen of the state. You have helped the state. How would you want the state to allow you to participate in continuing? There are 95% of the 25 million older citizens of the United States who are competent. Less than 5% are incompetent. I would like you to know that some of us feel that the state does not recognize our competency, and that unthinkingly, I know you're not doing it deliberately, you are permitting us to be treated like infants and incompetents. We wish to participate in our programs. We know what it is to be aging. We know what our needs are. We do thank you for all the things which you have done for us. For instance, we have about 500 persons who are being helped in the Pioneer Homes. We have 8,000 who are receiving $200 a month longevity bonus. We receive the property tax exemption for seniors and the renter's rebate. We have participated in 300 units of congregate housing. The Office on Aging has channeled $6 million in Older American Act monies into about 24 local communities throughout the state for the benefit of older Alaskans. There's $1 million in grants for older Alaskan service programs.
There's a Homemaker Home Health Aid program which assists about 500 persons. Medicaid, which primarily is spent on about 400 persons in nursing homes and general relief medical, of which 7% of the budget is spent on the elderly.
For retired state employees and teachers, there's a good pension program. The University of Alaska offers free tuition to older Alaskans, and we appreciate that. Fish and Game provides free and permanent hunting and fishing licenses. The Marine Highway System offers free travel on the ferries for older Alaskans. And I would say I enjoy taking my sleeping bag and going to Ketchikan, coming back, stopping along at the villages. Other older persons will join, and we come in, we go over to Haines, and we have some big parties. We get together. We enjoy this. We do appreciate all of the benefits which you have arranged for us. All totaled in FY80, the state plans to spend $57,917,156 for benefits and services for approximately 20,000 older Alaskans, half of whom are over the age of 65. How is the money administered? Who makes the decisions affecting us older Alaskans? At present, we are in the hands of three or four different departments, half a dozen different divisions, and at least 24 different program managers. It's very confusing. Even though I live here, it's very confusing. I try to keep up with things. Why not a single agency, an Older Alaskans Commission, to develop a coordinated, comprehensive plan to enhance all programs? Why not take a step forward in kindness on behalf of the elderly who are frustrated by the fragmentation in the delivery of these services and the poor planning in the development of these benefits? Finding one's way around is exhausting. And why not include on this commission informed, aggressive men and women over 60 and over 65 as knowledgeable advocates? Let older Alaskans monitor their own programs, not merely recommend. Why not focus on quality care, standards, and economical administration? All of us over 60 years of age have lived through the Great Depression. I don't know why I call it great. I lived through it, and it wasn't great. And we've learned how to cope. Who knows better than we what we need? Why not structure this Older Alaskans Commission to develop a community-based, home-centered network of services and benefits? We need a better delivery system, greater employment opportunities, and more biomedical research on the aging process. The state has been a great help to us, but why not let us help ourselves? In December of 1979, Dr. Arthur Fleming, who is in his 70s, of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and I am an advisory member of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, decried the image of men and women considered on the shelf at age 60. He explained that non-involvement in the community and marketplace leads to physical, mental, and spiritual deterioration. He predicted that legislation soon will remove all age barriers. Why not take advantage of us, use us, allow us to help you? A majority of the 20,000 older Alaskans request our legislators and our governor to grant us self-determination and our civil rights by creating an Older Alaskans Commission. And may I call your attention to one word in this bill, HB 17, the word dignity. The word dignity means inherent nobility and worth. That is what we need more than anything else. Do you know why many of us sit around with our heads down? Because we feel, you think, we aren't worth anything. And give us that right to participate. Give us the right to feel that we are worth something, that we still are citizens of the state of Alaska, and we support this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Senator Ferguson?
Doug, do you support the proposed amendments?
Pardon?
Do you support them?
Yes, I support them. Thank you. I have copies here. If you would pass these around, please. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, Doug.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that's come up to testify on this particular piece of legislation? Not we've gone through all the witnesses.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Perhaps I thought there would be someone from the department here. I would like to know, in the amendment that speaks to the programs conducted under a certain section of, as to programs that would come over to the new commission, and I guess I'd like to know what those are. What are we talking about in terms of the programs that would be administered, and, you know, how many dollars are we talking about, and are they different than, say, those that are now being administered under the Office of Aging?
Is anyone here from the department? Yes. Come forward, please. State your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Elizabeth McTerrion. I'm the Director of the Division of Adult and Aging Services in the Department of Health and Social Services. Mr. Chairman, have you seen, Liz, a copy of the proposed amendment?
No, I haven't.
If I could make those available, and then the question would be, what programs actually would be transferred over, and what are we talking in terms of, you know, number of dollars, and also what is currently being done under the office headed now by Ms. Plotman?
Okay, the programs which were formerly administered by the Office on Aging, which are now part of the Division of Adult and Aging Services, include the nutrition and social services programs authorized under the Older Americans Act. There's approximately $4 million of program monies for nutrition, for including congregate and home-delivered meals, and social services programs for the elderly. These programs are operated by private nonprofit agencies statewide. In addition, there is approximately $1.5 million for senior community employment services. These are employment funds also authorized under the Older Americans Act and administered by the Division of Adult and Aging Services. The funds are granted out
to positions in various communities for seniors age 55 and older. The social service and nutrition programs are for seniors age 60 and over. In addition, there are approximately, I think it's 19 staff members, which were part of the former Office on Aging, which were responsible for administering these programs. All of the positions except two are here in Juneau. There is a regional coordinator up in Anchorage, also a clerical position. Those are the aging programs that are being discussed in terms of being transferred. The other programs which would remain within the Division of Adult and Aging Services are the statewide Adult Protective Service Program, which includes the Homemaker Program, Home Health Aid Services, Adult Residential Care, and Adult Foster Care. These adult service programs are formerly administered by the Division of Social Services.
Mr. Chairman, in other words, those would be retained, but
yes.
The sum, there would actually be quite a large division then. If would you foresee those 19 positions going over under the commission?
Okay. My understanding, if this, it says under number two here, and the persons who administer these programs in the Division of Adult and Aging Services, my understanding would be that these would be the positions that were formerly part of the Office on Aging.
Mr. Chair, my question on this is just the whole kind of a thing. If we have other commissions, I really do understand what's trying to be accomplished, but do we have other commissions that actually, let me ask a question. Would you see them as hiring and firing and running that whole thing? Then they would become, in a sense, an operational division, I would imagine, under, people would be under Personnel Act, the whole thing. It would come in as a budget, but it would actually be run by a commission, and there would not be any other than liaison and so on with the department. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes. And in addition, if a commission is established with administrative
powers, mm-hmm. An advisory committee will have to be established to advise that body. According to federal regulations, we need to have an advisory committee for any federal aging programs.
Clarification. If the Older Alaskans Commission is established, mm-hmm. It would need an advisory. It would not need an advisory committee to the commission if it acted in the role of advising the department. Is that what
Correct.
You're saying?
Any further questions? Not? Thank you. Any discussion by members of the committee?
Mr. President?
Senator Sackett?
I would move that we create a finance committee substitute that would incorporate all of the proposed amendments into the substitute and put it out in the recommendation.
Motion before the committee is to incorporate the amendments into a finance committee substitute and put it out on individual recommendation. All members in favor? Carried. Bill is passed out of committee on individual recommendations. The next bill we have up is committee substitute for House Bill 237. I see the sponsor present. Representative Moss, would you come forward, please?
Chairman, for the record, I'm Representative Pappy Moss. I'll try to be brief. HB 237 is legislation raising the limits on the Ag Revolving Loan Fund. I might point out that this bill might not have been necessary if we had not repealed a statute last year that allowed the Revolving Loan Fund to sell certain papers to the Revenue Department. We repealed it, and consequently it eliminated the ability of the Revolving Loan Fund to sell paper. Therefore, HB 237 is very important, also due to the fact that we have $8.5 million we need to get out to the farmers. We cannot do it because the present loan fund that is loaned out is at $20 million. We can't add 8.5 to it without raising the limits on it. And that's basically the purpose for this bill here, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions, members of the committee? Senator Dankert?
What did we do with this? We, the Senate passed a bill. Didn't we raise it to $50 million?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure where the bill is over there in the House side.
How many bills, Representative Moss, how many loans? You say you need $8 million now?
We've got $8.5 million that has been added to. And that was in a Senate bill that came through that added $8.5 million to the Revolving Loan Fund. It has been passed, and the governor has signed it.
Now, that's the elevator?
Beg your pardon?
Is that an elevator deal, or is that...
No, that doesn't have anything to do with the elevator. This is strictly the Revolving Loan Fund for seed, fertilizer, equipment, et cetera.
Okay, now how much money is in the till right now? Do you know?
Right now, there's no money in the till that we can use. And for the reason that I stated on the fact that we did repeal the statute that enabled us to sell paper. If you care, I would give you that statute.
I just wondered what would happen if we changed that from $75 million to $50 million?
Well, Mr. Chairman...
Some of your bills, you didn't have any in there at all, did you?
Well, my original bill had $100 million in it. The resources, House resources, changed it to no limit to the total amount. I think that the Senate bill, if I remember correctly, Mr. Chairman, raised the limit to $50
million. I guess my question to you, Representative Moss, is $50 million enough?
$50 million, Mr. Chairman, is adequate to handle it. I had mentioned the statute repeal that we did because I think that is the final solution to the problem that we have here. That would, if we reinitiated the 03.10.054, if it was reinitiated, we wouldn't have to worry about the limit to it because we could sell the paper right straight into revenue as we have over the past many years. But $50 million, Mr. Chairman, to answer the question, is perfectly adequate. There will be additional monies going into the Revolving Loan Fund out of the governor's budget, providing that the House and the Senate approves it. That will raise the total amount of money available in the Revolving Loan Fund to pretty close to the $50 million figure.
Senator?
Give me just a brief idea of why there's such a thing as 8% money in the world. Mm-hmm. Y'all are at 8%, and that's just, you know, that's a tremendous subsidization of loan money. I just wondered why we're doing that. most everybody else, even is paying 9 or 9.5, you know, if you're buying a house, it's a better. Is there a reason, is there a history behind why we're letting this money out at 6%, now we're raising it to 8? But that's only half of what the money is costing right now, at 16 instead of 16.5, something like that.
Mr. Chairman, historically, the ag people have required lower interest rate loans in order to feed this nation. Actually, it may be considered a subsidy, but I'd point out that if anyone had breakfast this morning, all of us have been subsidized. The benefits that we are receiving from the lower interest, I think, is quite apparent. As far as the production and so forth the ag people have done over the past years, they cannot afford the 14-20% interest and continue to do their work and try to do the farming that we're trying to do. We're also in a new industry that we have, in a sense, created the infrastructure, beginning to create the infrastructure and the other things in agriculture. We need to give them a break on it. Maybe in some of the, in the future years, we could raise the interest rates. In fact, to the business, I think you will find that the one of the bills that's coming through the House now has raised the interest rate from 6% to 8%. One of the agriculture bills that just recently passed the House. You will see evidence that they have raised it 2%. The farmers have agreed that they could handle the 8% money rather than the 6% money.
What's the federal loan money now in agriculture? Do they have a fund you can borrow on there?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not quite sure, but I think the interest rates are in the same areas that we have interest rates in the state, 6-8% area.
I think the federal home loan is one of the areas where there are some federal monies available, or there were. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the Reagan administration as far as the loan programs are concerned in the federal, in the farm home loans. I know that a number of farm home loans had been used in the past in the state, but the money is almost unobtainable now.
Well, Pat, you know, in response to your reference to my breakfast, the only thing that ate breakfast this morning off our agriculture program was the bison. And I don't know if anything's been raised around here in Alaska that would contribute to Alaska agriculture, but I hope someday it will be, and we'll get red meat. But I don't have any problem necessarily with the 8%, but
any further questions of Representative Moss? Senator Lassen?
I have a question. Aren't funds available to the Agriculture Bank or the CFAB for agriculture? I know that the fishing industry is paying about 14% now.
Mr. Chairman, there are some monies available, but a lot of the people cannot afford the interest rates. They're still in an industry that I'll be the first to admit it's a high-risk industry that we're starting. The interest rates are just too high for them to handle it right now. One point I would make, that we have really started developing our agriculture within the past 3 years. We're literally lifting ourselves with our bootstraps. Fishing industry, I think, is a good indication of what can happen if we supply loan monies. And hopefully, like I said, we've just raised our interest from 6% to 8%. That's not bad in the first 3 years of operation that the farmers can afford to pay 2% more on the interest that they've been paying before.
Senator Eliza?
Mr. Chairman, if you're comparing the fishing industry to the farmers, you should take a close look at the fishing industry to kind of help you today. However, we're talking comparing apples and oranges, where I've seen a report by Bob Palmer's office which indicated that even after we spent I don't know how many millions of dollars in agriculture, we're talking about employing 2,500, 3,000 people. And right now, the fishing industry employs between 40,000 and 50,000, so there's really no comparison.
There may be no comparison today, Mr. Chairman, if I may point out. But at one time, there were just a few fishermen, too.
We've got a complete new industry. We've got what we call subarctic agriculture that's being developed. It's another developing renewable resource. We're trying to farm the dry land. The fishermen have been farming the wetland for quite some time. They may have a lot better expertise than us. I know that the Lord himself helped a few fishermen out many, many years ago. I might point out that the five loaves of bread that he took and fed the 5,000 and the multitude was barley bread.
I might say,
and even that, they were fishing on the wrong side of the boat, but anyway.
The projections I'm talking about are 8 years down the line, not
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'm not being facetious, but I would point out that we're not really spending this money, we're lending it, and lending it with interest, and I think the fishermen have done a tremendous job, and I think that if the agriculture people follow their guidelines, I don't think we'll do too bad ourselves in the long range.
Are there any further questions that are germane to barley and rapeseed?
Yeah, there is. I want to say just one more thing. If my recollection was, it was whole wheat bread. No, Pappy, I'm just kidding. What I want to tell you is, I just recently heard where the farmers now, instead of doing what I said they ought to have done, and that's move those bison out of that country and put them somewhere else or shoot them or do something with them if you're going to get into agriculture. Now, I heard on the news the other day, if I heard it right, they want me to buy the grain that the buffalo are eating. Is that true? That they think we ought to pay for the keeping the buffalo eating?
Without being facetious, Mr. Chairman, that might be another point of sale that we can sell our barley to. I might backtrack a little bit. I have just received a report in which we, in our wisdom, financed here 2 years ago. It was a buffalo chip study report. The buffalo chips were studied to see what the candy feed was. Up until this past year, the candy food was not the barley necessarily, but a number of other things, and I think out of that study we will be able to plant seed and so forth on the things that they like. Hopefully we can keep them out of the barley fields. But it just goes to show you in one way that barley is a good thing to be planting and trying to work, because the buffalo like it, and I think a lot of other folks would too. It's just one of our problems.
I hope we don't throw it around the back parking lot, though.
Well, just one other thing. You know, while we're bringing up old bills, remember, we also planted a bigger crop for the bison than we did for the farmer, so he would eat that. And then we had some salt licks and stuff to take him off into some other country, and I don't know what happened to that. Apparently, he doesn't like that, so he's back eating yours. You're going to have to face that question seriously sooner or later about if you want to raise cattle, you can't raise it in bear country if you want to have the bears and the cows. And eventually you can't have buffalo roaming through those grain fields. That's a situation, and I'm not saying this jokingly, needs to be faced sooner or later.
Mr. Chairman, might I point out that there is a House bill that was just recently passed that's on its way over to the Senate that hopefully will correct part of the problems that the Senator is addressing.
Senator Lyson?
Pappy, could you review? It seems to me that you said the Resources Committee in the House made some changes in the bill. It made some substantial changes. And what really passed the House doesn't really say a heck of a lot. Period.
Mr. Chairman, I might point out that my original bill called for a ceiling on the revolving loan fund. It was more or less just a one-line change. It changed the revolving loan fund from $20 million ceiling to $100 million. The House Resource Committee amended the bill to take out the total figure and put a no-ceiling amount on the revolving loan fund. At the time we had it in House Resources, I had discussed with them the addition of the re-insertion of the original statute that allowed the revolving loan fund to sell their paper to revenue. Up until that time, we were able to, say, loan $5 million. We had a $5 million loan fund. We raised it to $20 million in the last legislature in order to cover it and have enough money to work with. But at the same time, if I remember correctly, in Senate Bill 1 in the last legislature, it repealed the Enabling Act that enabled the revolving loan fund to sell the paper to revenue or other areas. And upon that repeal, then we had no place to sell the paperwork, and we did have insufficient money due to the number of loans and so forth that were coming in. We have several hundred loans now that are out, and we have many more loans that are going to have to come before us in the Matanuska McKinley Point area, the Nenanatochacket area, the Delta 2 program, and other Tanano Valley programs, that we're going to need the money to continue the development, the major developments in agriculture. But to but you're correct. Basically, it's a very short thing. We just took the lid completely off in House resources. Now, the Senate bill, if I may continue, Mr. Chairman, the Senate bill put a limit, if I remember correctly, of $50 million on it. The main thing, we've got $8.5 million available to us right now, but we cannot use a nickel's worth of it. The governor's already signed the bill. We can't use a nickel's worth of it until there is a raising of this limit here.
Senator Eliason, do you have a question?
I guess what you're really doing, in fact, is proposing that we limit the amount of money that farmers can borrow.
Sure. Well, the amount of money that the farmers can borrow right now, if I may, Mr. Chairman, there's another bill that came through the House the other day that raised the farm development to $750,000. Chattel mortgage to $500,000, seed and fertilizer is still $200,000. I'll explain those. The $200,000 is the amount of money a person can borrow for 1 year. The $500,000 is the amount of money that a person can borrow for 7 years for chattel, equipment, etc. The $750,000 is for the farm development. The present limits that are at $200,000 on the one-year loan, $300,000 on a seven-year loan for chattel, and $500,000 for the long-term development. That's the 30- and 40-year loan program for full development of the farm.
Senator Eliason.
Not like to belabor the same point, but the bill that passed the House actually took off the limits.
The
what
bill,
you're saying is you want to put them back on again, the Senate bill.
Well, I just assume if we can pass it out with no limit on it, fine. I just want to make sure that we got at least a $50 million limit, that we can put it up to $50 million into the revolving loan fund, because there's a total of approximately $23 million, including the $8.5 million that went out as a supplemental. If I remember correctly, there's about $23 million that the governor's budget and so forth is putting into the revolving loan fund this year, which would raise the total monies to $43 million, or in that vicinity. The $50 million that the Senate passed out, I have no disagreement with it. I think it's fine. I'd ask for $100 million based on the fact that we did repeal the statute that allowed them to sell their paper. Mm-hmm. And I figured that, and part of the research that I did on it, we are going to need approximately $100 million worth of loan monies over the next 10 years in order to develop this thing into a viable industry.
Thank you. Is there any further questions? Senator Dacre.
Chairman?
Motion before the committee to move the bill and individual recommendation.
Okay.
State your objection.
Is there any way we can sort of sort out what we've done? Pappy made some good case about what's happening, what's going to happen, and just where are we as far as the farm loan program goes? Again, there's been a number of pieces of legislation passed both houses. Can we have all this brought together somehow or other to see where we're standing? Can the staff do that, or could you supply us with some information? Or you've been throwing some fantastic figures around. I'd like to see just where we fit.
Could you elaborate just a little bit? Let me see what.
Well, you're mentioning as an example, the governor put $8 million in here, and there's another bill floating around for this amount of money. There's things that are in the system. And I guess what I'd like to see is something on paper which we can sort of see what's happening.
Are you talking about past loans or future loans or what?
You were talking about just a few minutes ago, about what's in the system, what's coming back to the House, what's coming through the Senate.
Mr. Chairman. There are a number of agricultural bills that just passed the House last week that hopefully will clean up our act in the agriculture business. I can't remember the exact numbers. I don't have my journal here with me, but they were 435, 438, and in that area there, that set guidelines up for the development of agriculture on a long-term basis.
Now, I'm not sure, Pappy, in all due respect, that that's germane to this bill before the committee. I think if Senator Eliason would like his own AAs to research this, there'd be no problem, just like my AAs are researching the 42 or 43 different entities pertaining to fish. I'd have no problem with that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Eliason.
Well, that's what's confusing to me, is bringing in these other loan programs into this bill. I don't know if they fit or they don't fit or how they... So maybe you're correct that this is not germane to this particular bill.
Mr. Chairman.
However, the point was brought up, and you know, it is confusing.
I think this perhaps is a little not so complicated, if I could ask Representative Moss a question. Right now, the limit on the fund is $20 million.
With the existing loans out, you're right up at that limit. Now, as I understand, the governor has recommended an additional $23 million, plus is there an additional $8.5 million that has been appropriated to the loan fund?
Mr. Chairman, the $8.5 million is actually part of the $23 million.
Mr. Chairman, that then is the major reason to bump that up. As a matter of fact, unless this bill or a similar bill passes, they will not be able to make existing loans because they're up against the limit. And the other issues dealing with so much for certain categories, I think, are relatively minor, that you can only loan, say, $300,000 in this area and so on. And those would be coming forward for review. So I think this is a needed piece of legislation. And I agree 8% is not all that much, but at least it starts to get a little somewhat closer to 17% reality.
We have a motion before the committee.
Objection
been removed. All those in favor of moving the bill out in individual recommendations? Those opposed? Bill's moved out in individual recommendations. We have one more bill I would like
to get to this
morning. Very quickly, Senate Bill 124, an act relating to state office complex in Anchorage. Senator Kozlowski.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't know whether you want to... It'll be fast. You have information on the bill summary for the from Senate State Affairs, a new fiscal note that's important that you see,
dated 5/2081. The Senate Finance Subcommittee hearing that was held of April 23rd, resolutions from various supportive groups, and an April 1st, 81 letter from Commissioner Hudson regarding the site selection method. And we have the original sponsor, Senator Fisher, here, as well as Commissioner Hudson from the Department of Administration. Senator Fisher.
Ms. Chairman, I will not take your time. I just want to express my appreciation for you taking up this bill. I hope you pass it out. The bill is very important in terms of getting a consolidation of state offices in Anchorage. The bill is an enabling bill. It's not just a matter of achieving an appropriation. The bill itself is important to creation of a kind of a complex that is contemplated for Anchorage. I would rather defer any time that's left to Commissioner Hudson to deal with specifics, unless somebody has a question to make.
Thank you, Senator.
Let's put a fiscal note now on this.
The one that you see should, dated May 20th, it shows for...
I got it.
Fast answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner,
I
don't know how much detail the committee would like to have this. Possibly they'd like to direct questions, or do you have a brief statement?
Mr. Chairman, just briefly, my name is Bill Hudson, Commissioner of Administration, and we have now concluded with the assistance of a study group up in the Anchorage area there, a plan that we believe will combine the state offices and employees in the Anchorage area into a very serviceable location, making government of all three levels accessible to the general public. We have pared down our original plan which called for the purchase of several blocks and a different type of a complex to basically one block in the downtown area and a two-tower complex with the proper relationships of each one of the different divisions and sections of government. I believe this is an extremely responsible thing to do. I believe that it will help us to hold down the size of government. I think it'll make government very visible instead of inaccessible. And in the long term, I believe we'll probably see some net operating expense reductions in the neighborhood of $1.5 million a year, and perhaps the elimination of approximately 100 man years that we can identify right off the bat, as opposed to doing things the way we're doing it now. Perhaps answer questions would be the best next approach.
Okay, questions to the Commissioner? Senator Second.
What is the status of the land acquisition? That's the only thing I'm familiar with in terms of the location and the cost.
We have taken no action, Senator Sackett, because we simply don't have any funds at this point in time. As soon as we have the appropriation, we intend to enlist the aid of a commercial real estate firm to assist us in developing some site acquisition criteria, and we would attempt to negotiate purchase after looking, if you will, with their assistance.
Well, haven't you already done some of that, though?
Yes, we have. We've done the, basically, we've pared the site down to an eight-block, preferably eight-block site that rests, generally speaking, between the federal office buildings, the ARCO complex, the park strip, and the Hill building or the municipal building.
So what you're saying is that you want some more money to do what? I don't understand. If
well,
you've already done this,
we need, what we need to do, Senator, is we need to secure a full city block and then go out on a competitive bid for a development. And we intend and expect to receive several development schemes, of which we would then go through the competitive basis to select one of them to build the actual complex and then lease, purchase it back to the state of Alaska.
You're going to be looking at various alternatives based downtown, different blocks, or you've already selected the block?
We've already selected generally an eight-block complex that we'd like to home in on.
And that's the one that's owned by Norton Simon or whatever it is?
Well, actually, there are many ownerships within the eight-block site that we have. I would say that the largest single owner probably would be Bunker Hunt, although we are, as a result of listening and looking at his plans, very likely going to remain somewhat away from his development.
Any further questions? Senator Eliason and Senator Ferguson.
There's a private enterprise involved in this building, at least back to the state. That's correct?
Yes, sir.
How long will it take to pay off the building?
Within 20 years, we should have the state owning the entire complex, land and buildings. And probably over a 20-year period of time, it'll cost the state about the same amount of money and perhaps even a little less than if we continue to do business the way we're doing it now, and we'll own nothing.
With the capital moving to Willow, there isn't any chance that some of the Anchorage employees will be moving there.
The size of this building or this complex that we've housed out for 1984-85 is about 70% of the Anchorage population. We've purposely diminished the size by approximately 20 to 25%, so that there would be no concern whatsoever with the removal of some identified numbers of people from Anchorage to Willow. So in essence, we've the scope of here is needed regardless of what happens to the capital move.
It's hard probably for you to define or to state, but how many people in Anchorage you think want this building?
I'm sorry, how many?
How many people in Anchorage do you think want this building other than that with a vehicle?
Well, we have the support of the municipal, the mayor, office and staff, the Anchorage Planning Agency, the Anchorage Municipal Assembly, the Greater Chamber of Commerce, and several other private groups. We've held public hearings and have had literally only one letter that that I've got on record that has really objected to it. Only one out of all of these months, which we've done a very visible, open program. That
don't you think this office building would be better located in the new capital?
No, sir, I don't believe this one would, because I believe these employees are the type of employees that would continue to serve the regional needs of Anchorage. The numbers that we've left out of this building could conceivably be transferred to Willow.
Senator Lyson?
Would there be any advantage to the state just appropriating the amount of money necessary to build a complex and billing without going through the proposal of new proposed partners to those that lease the bank? Would there be any savings to the state?
Conceivably, there could be some savings. However, I think what we're talking about is the ability to come up fast, if you will. Have the private sector can, in my opinion, can construct faster, construct cheaper, can own and operate without, if you will, new employees in the state of Alaska, and the funds remain, if you will, on the local tax rolls, and the ultimate results are about the same. The state ends up owning the complex. So all of the public hearings and the testimony that I received indicated that the major support was for a private development with a lease purchase option.
Why don't we do this all around the state?
Frankly, Senator, I think it's a fine idea. I think it's something that has been overlooked. I believe that we've probably overburdened to some extent many of the DOT facilities people. When I hit upon this idea, I thought that it might be one heck of an alternative, maybe even for future parts of the state of Alaska.
Well, I think, really, we should have looked at the needs in Anchorage, needs in Fairbanks, Juneau, Ketchikan, Barrow, Nome, Kotzebue, instead of just one town that seems to get everything at once.
Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a moment?
I just had one more question, real quick. The only thing I remember was reading one article about this, and it said that the land that you had looked at or selected as probably being the site was the most expensive property in the city of Anchorage. Did you ever try to look at any other location?
Yes, sir. Senator Sackett, we looked at five general broad areas into the whole Anchorage basin through a combined review team, including a number of different interests, including the municipality, planning agency, DOT, and ourselves and others. We pared it down to about 144 blocks downtown, and then further pared it down to about 34, and then further finally down to the final 8 blocks. So we have looked at everything else. The key is, obviously, you can build it cheaper, you know, if you go out on state-owned land, but you don't provide that service center, if you will, for the public to come into the Anchorage area and find government all within literally walking distance. As it is right now, they have to go around about 50 to 60 different locations, many of which are very difficult to find.
I think the key is the criteria you use in trying to determine which blocks would be going down there. I have no further questions.
Senator Dankert.
But just one quick statement for everybody's information. I still would like to see down the line somewhere that we look at, and when we rewrite the permanent fund, look and see if they could acquire this type of structure. I think that's a good investment for the permanent fund over a period of years, and everybody can share in that. Interest
off
of that. But that's another day.
We'll
have to rewrite the bill.
Senator
Strzelczewski?
Yeah, give a number.
Ready for a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the SB 124 with individual recommendations.
Okay. All in favor of moving out individual recommendations? Opposed? Moved out individual recommendations. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Senate Bill 100, an act relating to mentally ill persons, will be before the committee. Thank you. We'll wait for the floor.